Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
We're going to start with our good friend George Schroeder, covering college football nationally for USA Today. He's on Twitter, at George Schroeder. He wrote a really good piece on UCLA's Chip Kelly, who obviously we have a tie to here in the Pacific Northwest. And George is joining us now, and he's on Twitter, at George Schroeder. George, thanks so much for joining us here in Portland. His new mantra is not quite win the day. When I read it, it just doesn't quite come off the tongue the same way. What was the biggest thing you took away when you dove into this piece with Chip?
Well, hey, first of all, thanks for having me. Part of the reason it's not his new mantra is a new mantra at all is because and its habits reflect the mission is the new mantra.
That's
and
what
the
it
reason is.
It's
in part because apparently Oregon trademarked win the day, and thus he couldn't use win the day when he got to Philadelphia with the Eagles. And so he came up with something different, habits reflect the mission, which sounds a little bit different to me. By the way, I'm not sure Oregon trademarking win the day really worked, because it seems like every other college football coach in the country uses it too. But yeah, I mean, basically habits reflect the mission. And here's the thing about college coaches, right? They all sort of do this sort of, I don't know, it's like class D corporate culture stuff, right? It's like if Dunder Mifflin was in charge of corporate culture, that's what they do. But it works because they're not working with the 38-year-old and 52-year-old burned out guy who's been working at this company for a long, long time and is tired of being told to buck up and the morale is good. They're working with 18 to 22-year-olds, and it's the first time they've ever heard of anything like this. And so it works. You know, all the morale building and the, you know, one for all and all for one stuff really works with those guys. And they're also, you know, highly motivated individuals in most cases. I realize that's not what you were asking me about, but that's one of my little hobby horses.
No, absolutely. I mean, it stuck out to me when I read it because I didn't think about the win the day trademark for Oregon. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. He's taking a different approach here. You know, the other thing that your piece, it really got me thinking last night, and I liked it. I like Kelly's quotes in the story, and we tweeted it out with our show page at Dirt and Sprague. Absolutely. It made me think, George, do I still think Chip Kelly is a great coach, or has he clearly gone down a level? Because year two for them is pretty pivotal, in my opinion. They're returning like 19 players. Great coaches in college football tend to be able to win relatively quickly, whereas it feels like Chip's kind of building for a 4 or 5 year plan. What do you think about that?
Well, it does feel like that, and I'm not. And here's the problem with that: is patience is not in, you know, much abundance in college football with fan bases anymore. And I don't know what it's like necessarily at UCLA. That is not the most rabid of football fan bases, right? There, it's a basketball school, but you know, people are now used to you winning in year two, and winning big in year two, and that's not always reality. It's not always doable. And I got to tell you, I think they're going to be better and more competitive this year, but the schedule is not favorable to them. San Diego State, I don't know the order, but Cincinnati, San Diego State, and Oklahoma, I think it's in that order. That's pretty rough. I realize they get Oklahoma at home, which is at least a break, but I'm not sure they're ready for that. And then, of course, obviously the Pac-12 South is the lesser of the two divisions, at least on paper, but it's going to be, you know, tough competition. And you mentioned 19 starters returning, but you know, they played 21 true freshmen, which was a school record last year. They've got 42 freshmen on the roster this year and 6 transfers. So essentially half of the roster is still really, really, really young. So I don't know. I think we ought to be thinking that they could be a lot more competitive this year and the record might not be much better. You know, maybe they win another game or two. I'm not sure they get to 6, and they were 3-9 a year ago. But if you want to be concerned about something as it relates to Chip Kelly and UCLA, I think the reason for concern is they're going to have a bunch of these guys pan out who are like three-star recruits. They're not in on the four stars. They're certainly not in on the five stars. And it just doesn't, so far, it hasn't translated into a bunch of big-time recruits. Well, they're going to have to be Chip Kelly's kind of guys, and they're going to have to pan out.
Absolutely. George Schroeder is our guest. USA Today national college football writer, wrote a really good piece on Chip Kelly. Also put one out, too, at usatoday.com in the sports section on Clay Helton and USC. And I may get to that. I haven't read it yet, but I do have a question for you on that topic. But as long as, you know, as far as Chip goes, he did a Pac-12 media day. We had Isaac and Suk down there, and they had him on. And last year and this year, it seems like he had kind of warmed up, or at least changed his demeanor towards media versus, you remember at Oregon, he a little standoffish, didn't like to talk very much, didn't want to do the media thing very often. Do you get a different vibe from Chip, like his experiences in San Francisco and Philadelphia and leaving Oregon has kind of grounded him a little bit, where this stuff doesn't impact him personally like it felt like it used to back in the day?
Well, listen, I think Chip just doesn't want to be bothered with the media. I don't think that he has anything necessarily against guys, but I will tell you this, if you thought the media at Oregon was tough and you wanted to shut them out, it was probably no fun going to Philly, because that's a little bit different media crowd than what you had to deal with out of Portland and Eugene.
Right.
So I don't know that he's really changed his demeanor. In fact, it's interesting because not this last spring, but the spring before, his first spring at UCLA, I got a call from one of the beat writers there just saying, hey, can you tell me what he was like at Oregon? And they were just sort of saying, you know, because he barely ever talks to us. And when he does, he's very clipped and short. And I said, well, that's kind of what he was at Oregon. So, I mean, I actually think that what you guys saw at Pac-12 Media Days is the, all right, I've got to do this one day a year. I'm going to do it well. I'm going to be engaging and all these things. And then, but I'm only going to do the bare minimum of the things I have to do the rest of the year. And I don't even mean that in sort of like a negative way. I just think that just sort of is who he is and how he's functioned. So I don't know that he's changed a ton.
If I were to ask you, if you had to pick one, which coach would you pick that you think is the best out of the South? And if that answer is not Chip Kelly, how surprised does that leave George Schroeder, a guy who once upon a time you were writing in Eugene, you were covering Oregon, you saw what they had established. How much does that maybe surprise you to say if it's not Chip, just in one division in the Pac-12?
Well, let me just say this. I think it is Chip, but if you wanted to say it's Kyle Whittingham, I think he's vastly underrated nationally. So I'd be okay with that. You know, Herm Edwards, jury's out on whether he's going to be a really good college coach or not, I think. I'm not sure who it would be other than those two, quite frankly. It's Chip Kelly, and I think he's one of the top 10 coaches in college football. Whether it's going to work or not the second time around, I don't know. But I will say this. Some of the things you heard after last year, like, oh, the game's passing by and everybody's figured out how to play defense against the, you know, what we all used to call the blur and that kind of stuff, offense. The game's not passed Chip Kelly by. This is going to be a different situation. Let's keep in mind, he inherited a very talented team at Oregon, and he'd been there 2 years by the time he got the job. So he understood, you know, sort of what he was walking into and was able to make tweaks or changes that he wanted to. Whereas he encountered a difficult roster situation at UCLA, and he has to do a complete overhaul in sort of, you know, this is a coachy kind of corporate type of thing, but in culture, and in other words, the way he wants to do things. And so, and there's no guarantee it's going to work in a place with a platform like UCLA versus Oregon.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I also took note of how he had mentioned more passing elements, that he had brought that from the NFL.
Right.
And he's all about adapting to his roster versus pushing down exactly what his offensive philosophy is. He's willing to adapt and do different things to accommodate the roster. You know, I haven't been able to read the USC piece on Clay Helton yet, so apologies on that, but it just feels like everybody, I mean, every Trojan fan, national pundits, local people, everybody's pushing him out the door before the season's even started and already anointing Urban Meyer the new USC coach. I've heard good things about Graham Harrell and practice reports and different scouting things that pundits down there write about, but that doesn't mean they're going to win. How does he feel in your mind as a guy with a lot of pressure this season?
Well, I mean, I think he's doing what you got to do, which is sort of just put your head down and grind. I think that's what he's always done. And look, I think they might win more games this year, and they might surprise some people. And yet it might not be the right games, and it might not be against, and it might not be enough. But look, I'll tell you the one thing, and I did not get into this in the column, which, you know, you referenced. And by the way, I think it'll be in the print edition tomorrow. So you guys go buy 6 or 8 of them. But I always try to do that.
Absolutely.
So, but the one thing that I think is people are not paying attention to enough is this. Lynn Swann, the athletic director, I think is in at least as much trouble probably as Clay Helton. And so it wouldn't stun me that Lynn Swann has to go before Clay Helton does, because they're not going to, let me put it this way, they're not going to have Lynn Swann hiring the next football coach if there's going to be a next football coach. So that's, so it's a little more complex of a situation than we like to think about. But I do think this, when it comes to sort of big sort of marquee powers, there's not anybody on a hotter seat right now than Clay Helton. And I think they probably have a chance to be pretty darn good offensively given the skill position players they have with that offense. And I think if you were a coach who was in, you know, good shape in terms of a hot seat type situation, that USC could follow sort of the Oklahoma mold of how to run the air raid, and so it's not an equalizer in that case, but it's got Oklahoma, USC, Alabama type talent, and it becomes a devastating type of weapon because of the talent on hand, as opposed to when, you know, no offense to Mike Leach, but when you're running things at Texas Tech and Washington State, it's an equalizer against those teams with the talent. So I think if you were Clay Helton and you could get through this year and you could get things going, you could suddenly start recruiting to that with huge talent, and it could be really devastating. I just don't know if we can get there.
How much, I'll get you out of here on this one, George, and we're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today, National College Football Writer, wrote a really good piece on Chip and USC. You can find those at usatoday.com, or as George mentioned, you can pick up 6 to 25 different copies, which will be out tomorrow on the actual paper itself.
Please do, yeah.
How often do you battle, not like battle in the real sense, but just go back and forth with different friends of yours in the industry from a national level of the reputation of the Pac-12 and where it's at right now? The one thing we point at, financially, we can't argue. They don't make as much money. It's disgraceful. It sucks. But this whole, like, the Pac-12 is not as good football-wise. The Big 12's never won a playoff game. They've never been in the title game. The Big 10 isn't beating Bama. They're not beating Clemson right now. That was a while ago with Urban. You know, the reputation of the Pac-12 and just kind of your feelings towards it and the national vibe right now as it sits on football.
Well, there's a couple things. One, it's the perception of your league is all based on the playoff. That's unfortunate, but it's true because that's what everybody's focus is on. So you can be a fairly deep league, but if you don't have elite team or teams that can get to the playoff, then people don't recognize you as being deep. Conversely, you can have a league that's not very deep, but that has an elite team that's a supernova, and everybody thinks the rest of the league is all that. You think back a couple of years ago, the SEC had Alabama and a bunch of teams that nobody lost fewer than 4 games. I mean, literally, nobody other than Alabama lost fewer than 4 games. Now, that was sort of the low point, but it took that year for everybody to go, oh, well, maybe it is just Alabama. Now, I think that league is coming back strong again, and it's developed some depth. But my point is, people thought it was really strong because Alabama was really strong. And sometimes the its reputation outweighs its actual performance. I think sometimes the Pac-12's performance has outweighed its reputation. But I do think that when you have Washington non-competitive in terms of the final outcome in the playoff against Alabama, and then you have sort of I don't know. I think the Pac-12 is better than people give credit for. I think it's got several good teams in it, but you got to have an elite team or teams, and you got to have somebody get to the playoff, and then you got to have somebody do something once they get there. They need at least be competitive.
Yeah, right. Look no further than the ACC. It's a terrible conference, but Clemson's dominant and Clemson's winning, and people don't talk about it much. George Schroeder.
Right.
Yeah, George Schroeder, USA Today, National College Football Writer. Great piece on Chip Kelly, George, and I look forward to reading the USC one. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you being flexible with your schedule and jumping on. We love talking with you and catching up. And we look forward to this coming season and talking with you again.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.